Wow. Hey, church, before you take a seat, say hi to three or five people. Take the time, say hi to three or five people. Kids ministry, you are dismissed. Kids ministry, you are dismissed. See my friend, Miss Jazenia, in the back. Say hi to a couple more people, more people. Say hi, say hi. If you've never seen them, say hello to them. There we go. Give them that Christmas love. Give them that Christmas love, Christmas love. There we go. You may be seated, you may be seated. If you want to say hi to more people, say hi to more people. That's up to you. There we go. Kids ministry, you are dismissed. Kids ministry, you are dismissed. Look at all this love and hugging. I love it. I love it. What's up, Chris? How you doing, brother? It's good to see you. How's everybody doing this morning? That was awful. Let's do that again. How's everybody doing this morning? Nah. Merry, Merry Christmas. It's good to see some familiar faces. It's good to see some new faces as well. Those who may not know, my name is Javon. No, I'm not Kevin Hart. Relax, you know, just take a step back, you know. My name is Javon. I'm on staff here, and it's such an honor to serve you guys, especially for this special holiday season. Hey, can we give it up for all the ugly sweaters, ugly Christmas sweaters? There's some ugly. There's ones that light up. There's one lighting up right now. Please turn that off, sir. But very distracting to the eyes. But man, this is so fun. Hey, if you are wearing the ugly Christmas sweater, make sure you stop out after service. We're gonna take some pictures. It's gonna be a fun and great time. Take some pictures of your ugly sweater so we can make fun of you later on. And before we jump into the message today, we have an awesome, awesome team that serves every third Saturday called our food distribution team. And every time they come out, no matter what the weather conditions may be, they are here to serve the people here in Old Brooklyn and in the greater Cleveland by giving out food. And man, can we just give it up for those who stopped out yesterday in the cold, you know, and it's awesome. I don't know if you guys saw right outside on Main Street, we have a bunch of food that's left over. So if you need anything, if you want anything, we got apples and potatoes and I don't know what else there is back there. There's just a lot back there. So if you want to take a couple things, you are more, you can take whatever you want and be blessed by that. But I just want to acknowledge our awesome food distribution team for doing a great work. But don't forget tomorrow, 6:30 p.m., we have our candlelight service. Candlelight service tomorrow, 6:30 p.m. Make sure you invite a friend. Make sure that you're there. Make sure that you're here early. I don't know if you guys noticed, we got a couple more chairs that we put in. Thanks to our friend Logan. It's Logan's birthday today, by the way, guys. Happy birthday, my brother Logan. Always working hard for the Lord. So the more chairs means that it's going to be packed. So make sure you're here early. You know, we got this amazing parking lot, you know. So just make sure that you're here early, and you don't want to miss tomorrow's worship service. But hey, I'm going to jump in prayer, and then we're going to go ahead and begin in our sermon. Let me say a quick prayer. Will you go ahead and bow your heads with me? Dear Father, we thank you for the precious gift of Christ. We thank you that Christ is the Savior of the world. Let our hearts and minds be saturated with this very truth. But let this very truth create such a trajectory in our lives that it causes us to live a renewed life that you've called us to live. I pray that many of us connect to this great reality that you demonstrated your great love, that while we were still sinners, you sent the answer to our sin. That while we were not just sinners, but we were going to continuously mess up, you still sent your son. And today, Lord, our posture is thank you. Our posture is we glorify you. Our posture is we want to give more of ourselves to you. I prayed this morning, Lord, and I want to echo this prayer one more time. Help us to be worshipers of you. I just want to worship you. I want to honor you more in my life. And Lord, I thank you that you meet me in these moments. You meet us in these moments to display your grace and mercy, which you so long to give to each and every one of us. Help us, I pray. Bless us in this room today. Bless those who are watching online. Deposit within each and every one of us a sense of worship. We love you and we thank you. In Christ's wonderful name is who we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, good morning once again, guys. If you're just joining in with us, we are in week 3 of a sermon series called Advent. I've been loving this series. We've been studying the book of Luke. The Gospel of Luke is what we've been going through. And Advent, for those who may not know, Advent just means arrival. It comes from, it's a Latin word, Adventus, and it just means arrival, this time of year. It's very interesting. We have Easter and we have Christmas, our moments and times where we reflect, right, where we remember. It's good to remember. It's good to meditate on what happened, what took place on a particular event. But we're not just here to reflect on an event. We're here to respond from that event too, right? It's one thing, as I've been saying every week, and I'm going to keep saying it till the series is over with, but it's one thing to remember. It's another thing for it to cause a different way of living, right? A different way of thinking, a different way of approaching life, a different way of how you treat one another, whatever it may be. That's what this idea of Adventus is. Every year, Christians, millions of Christians all across the world are doing what we're doing. We're actually all in the same sermon series, if you think about it. We're all reflecting and thinking about Christ and what that means for us and as we move forward. So today we're in week 3 of that series. But some of you may or may not know, I have 2 boys. And I love being a dad. One of the reasons why I love being a dad, because I love telling people what to do, and I can't tell my wife what to do, so I get these 2 little guys that I can obviously tell them what to do. But one of the coolest things we do is that if you ever walk into our house is crazy loud and wild, right? I may be the cause of that, okay? If you know, and don't worry about that. Don't judge me. But, you know, our house is crazy wild and loud. We're always doing something. One thing my boys and I, what we love to do, we love playing hide and seek, right? My son calls it hide and go seek. I'm like, listen here, little boy. It is hide and seek, all right? I was born in the 80s. That's what we call it, okay? Hide and seek. That's what it is. And so we love playing hide and seek. And I'm always the hider. They are always the seeker, right? And the other day we were playing, and I get a little bit competitive, not gonna lie, all right? Don't judge me. You know, I'm maybe 35, but I still got a drive to win, okay? So, you know, we're playing hide and seek, and I always pick the best places, right? I pick the best places to the point. Now, you gotta remember, my boys are one's about to be 5, the other one's 2, and they never could find me. And every time they look for me and they can't find me, they start crying, Daddy! Daddy, and I just say, suck it up, boys. You got to find me. And so what I had to learn was, you know, even though I'm picking these great spots, what I would do is I would say, all right, in order for them to find me or to play fair, I would make certain noises to make my presence known to them. I would do something to make my presence known. So I'll be hiding, and they'll say, Daddy, where are you? Daddy, and then I'll do, you know, and then I'll say, oh, he's over here, and then they'll run, and they'll laugh, you know, and then I'll do something like, hoo-doo-hoo, you know, and, oh, Daddy's over here, da-da-da-da-da, right, and then next you know, they open the door, and they say, Daddy, we found you, and I say, yeah, you found me, but it's very interesting, you know, in their minds, they're like celebrating this moment, but they only found me because I made myself known to them. Isn't that interesting? Right? To them, it's like, yay, Daddy, we beat you. And I'm like, yeah, no, you did it. You found me because I made myself known to you. Now, this is what I love about Christmas. Christmas is a time where we remember God wants you to find him. God wants you to find him. God wants his presence in your life to be known. God is the great pursuer. He is the great pursuer of each and every one of us. And he greatly pursues each and every one of us so that we may experience the depth of his goodness, so that we may experience who he is and his heart, his all-pursuing heart. And the great way God has demonstrated this great truth, the one way God has demonstrated this great longing and reality of his heart is by sending Christ. So this Christmas season, I want you to be reminded, I want you to know that God is not a God who plays hide and seek, but rather he's the seeker. He's the seeker. He's the one coming for you. And God longs for you to find him so that in him you may find life. Okay? Does that make sense? God longs for you to find him because in him you may find life. And that's his great heart for each and every one of us. And that's what we're going to read in Luke chapter 2. And that's what we've been studying this whole entire time. God wants his presence to be known for each and every one of us so that we can have the experience of safety and renewal in our lives. So let's go ahead and look at Luke chapter 2. We're going to be continuing in Luke chapter 2. Last week we were in verses 1 through 7. As you can see today, we're going to be reading verses 8 through 20. And this is a very, very interesting passage, and I'm excited to talk to you about it. I'm excited to talk about what does the presence of Jesus look like and mean in our lives. Before we get there, let me go ahead and read verses 8 through 12 one more time. You have your copy of the scriptures. Go ahead and pick it up, or it would be on the screen for you. Here we go. Verse 8, Luke chapter 2. It says, "And there were shepherds residing in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Just then," verse 9, "just then the angel of the Lord stood before them." A lot of angel work in the Gospel of Luke, right? Here's the angels appearing again to people. It says, verse 9, "Just then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified." I would be terrified too. I would be like, we're just here dealing my, you know, normal, regular thing. And then bam, next you know, like, bro, what is that? Is that a man dressed up as an angel? Like, what is going on? And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Look at verse 10. "And the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid.'" God's favorite language to his people. Says it over 300 times in the scriptures. 300 times. "Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." Verse 11, "Today in the city of David," that's Bethlehem, "in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in the manger." Verse 13, let's just read verse 13. "And suddenly there appeared an angel of great multitude, heavenly hosts, praising God, saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men whom his favor rests.'" Right? So what's going on in this moment, right? Well, let's talk about the very first thing that is obvious. The thing that sticks out is, there's this interesting moment, this divine moment, this supernatural moment between these shepherds, who we're talking about a little bit, and angels, right? Went from one angel, next you know, it's a plethora of angels, and they're like, whoa, this is a very, very interesting situation, right? Right? Because when God comes into your life, he comes in your life in such a way where it's not just normal, but it changes everything. It changes everything. Right? So these angels are there. And what is the central message of the angel? right? Don't get caught up with the presence of the angel. We know that's very, very important, right? Right? Because the presence of the angels represents the presence of God being manifested here on this earth. But be more concerned with the message. This is their message. They says, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy. This is the message of Christmas. The good news of great joy. You know, the one thing that I've noticed that for a lot of us, one thing that disrupts a lot of our joy is based off the news or the bad news we constantly hear. Right? How many of us this year have heard more than once bad news? Plenty. And you and I, we know what those things are. The bad news of a loss. The bad news of rejection. The bad news of again. The bad news of whatever it may be, right? But here's the beautiful truth about Christianity. Christianity teaches us, yeah, there's a lot of things that happen that are unfortunate in our lives. There are a lot of things that we find ourselves in that we just do not like and we wish were very different. And I can sympathize with all of you in the room today if you are there. But here's the great truth of Christianity. The great truth of Christianity is that the reality of your life is centered around the true good news of Jesus Christ, which means this. If you are a Christian, you always have good news. You always have good news. And what's this good news? Christ is with you. That Christ is present in these moments. Because a lot of us need to understand that the good news of Christmas is the presence of Christ. You need a reminder today that, friends, you are not a product of the bad news, but rather you are a possessor of the good news. You possess the good news that Christ, God himself, is here with you. Notice the angels. They bring praise here on this earth. What is that? What does that mean? That they're praising Jesus because Jesus is worthy to be praised, right? They're praising, they're acknowledging his presence. And I've noticed that many of us, or a lot of us, need to realize that when we are focused on the person and the purpose and the presence of Christ, this good news brings great joy. Because a lot of us, yeah, we have a lot of things we're thankful for, but our joy meter is pretty down. Sure, there are things that you can say, thank you, God, for. Thank you, God, for my family. Thank you, God, for my home. Thank you, God, for my job. Thank you, God, for da-da-da-da-da-da. We can go down the list. But just because I'm thankful doesn't mean I'm joyful sometimes. Right? And here's what Christmas point. Christmas speaks to the depths of some of our loneliness and depression that I know Christmas can bring up. Because I know a lot of us, Christmas is another reminder I'm alone again. I'm doing another holiday without this family member. Christmas is a reminder of the depths of I have no one to count on. But here's the good news. Christ in his presence with you. God in his presence with you, and that he is near to you. He is near to each and every one of us, right? And I wonder if we can connect to this reality a little bit more, how much does that change our perspectives and our approach to life, knowing that there is a lot I don't have, but one thing I do have, and I can never lose, is the presence of God in my life. Think about how that changes everything. There's a lot, friends, that you and I wish we had right now. We wish we had more money. We wish, some of you wish you were pregnant. Some of you wish the divorce didn't happen. Some of you, you wish that the house wouldn't be going in foreclosure. Some of you, you wish all, and there's a lot of bad news, but here's the good news that can never be taken from you. God is present with you. The angels are celebrating. Why? Because Jesus is on the scene. Jesus is on the scene. The world wasn't perfect then. Rome was leading and overthrowing the Jews and many others. Things were bad. Things were evil. But here's a reason to celebrate. God is with me. And maybe some of us, we need to take a step back and take a moment and realize in the bad news that you're walking in today, here's your good news. Christ is with you. Christ is with you. So we see this amazing moment happening right here. The divine God himself making himself known by becoming man. And the angels worshiping. And it's this crazy moment happening, right? But I want to point to you not just to the presence of Christ or the presence of God, right? But I want to talk to you about the people God appears to. Now, if you were with us last week, we went over Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. Verses 1 through 7, we were introduced to a guy by the name of Caesar Augustus, or better known as Gaius Octavius. If you are a history buff like I am, Caesar Augustus was the very first emperor of Rome. Highly loved. Big time. He was the president. He is the guy above guys. Anything he says will be done. Anything he wants, he'll get. All of that. But notice that the presence of God doesn't come to an elitist like Caesar. It comes to shepherds. Now watch this. Now look at verse 8 one more time. And there were shepherds residing in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. What's going on here? Jesus was just born. Mary just had Jesus. They're in Bethlehem. There's no room in the inn. And then next year, you know, God wants his presence to be known. How? And to who? Not to the elitist, but to the shepherds. Now, some of you, it's easy to look over that verse and say, this has nothing to do with me. Like, can you give me the application? Sure, I can give you the application. But let me give you the context first. Shepherds were nobodies. You didn't grow up as a Jewish boy saying, I can't wait to be a shepherd. No. Right? You didn't grow up. That's like saying, you know, growing up and saying, I want to be a Michigan fan. Like, nobody wants to do that, right? Or I want to be a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. Yeah, nobody wants that, right? That's not the life you want, right? No, I meant that when I said that. But nobody, shepherds were nobodies. They were uneducated, right? Right? See, Jewish boys in this time, they would grow up. One of their jobs would be something that would contribute to society in a very, very special way, right? You would either go into rabbinic school to become a Pharisee. You guys remember the Pharisees that hated Jesus and whatnot, right? You would either do that, right? Or you would go into to any type of trade. You know, Jesus' father was a carpenter, right? That's a great trade to be in. Or even fishermen, right? But a shepherd? Oh, man, they were dirty, right? Now, there's a lot of talk about what kind of shepherds these were. Were they nomadic shepherds? Were they village shepherds? Like, there's a lot of talk. It doesn't matter what it may be. What Luke wants you to know is that God doesn't come. Jesus didn't come for the elitist. He came for the people that get it wrong, like you and I. Jesus came for those who don't have it all together. Because these shepherds, they had a bad reputation. One of the reputation was they were really bad at shepherding, right? The goal of the shepherd is to keep the sheep. But they couldn't do that. They were unsuccessful at it. Some of the sheep were used for temple purposes, for sacrifice. Some of the sheep were used for trade. But every time they would come to these shepherds, they would always be low in count. They're like, where are these sheep at? Oh, we lost them. Of course you lost them. Of course you lost them. They were people who had a bad reputation. Now, I want to stop here for a second. How many of us are haunted by the reputation that we've created in the past? How many of us our unwise choices have cost us a lot. Right? We've done things that, man, we wouldn't dare put on Facebook. We wouldn't make a story or a reel out of that, would we? That's not the thing we want people to see. But still, somehow, some way, the reputation of our past, what we've done, it begins to haunt us in such a way where it begins to tell us a story about ourselves, and we are believing that story. Remember last week I said we're all telling ourselves a story, and maybe the story we're telling ourselves is you are a failure, and you messed up terribly, right? But this Christmas, I want you to know, and I want you to be reminded, Jesus didn't come for the people who get it right all the time. Jesus came for people like you and I. It echoes very much of what Jesus says in the Gospels. When the Pharisees catch Jesus sitting with the tax collectors, sitting with the sexually immoral, sitting with the people who cheat and rob and steal and all of that, sitting with the sinners, and he's having dinner with them. And the Pharisees, the elitist, the well-known, they say, if this man really were a Jew, he would know who these people are. And Jesus says, I did not come for the righteous. I came for people who are inconsistent. Anybody inconsistent? Yeah. Anybody not a man or a woman of their word sometimes? You say, and I know what's going to happen in 2025. All of us are going to have plans on top of plans on top of plans. And by January 3rd, those plans fail. Right? I love this reality because this is what gives me hope. What gives me hope in my Christian life is not how much I get it right. Because can I just tell you this? Jesus loves you on your good days and your bad days. It's not like God's like, all right, well, tomorrow you got to work for my love again because you got it wrong today. Right? God's not like, well, you were a bad dad today. Guess you got to make it up. No. Friends, what makes you and I the people of God, the sons and the daughters of God, it's not through efforts, but it's through Christ himself. So because Christ came, the way you are connected to God, it's not because you are so special when you woke up this morning and you read the Bible and God's like, oh, I love them now. Here's a blessing. No, the blessing and the love and the grace and the mercy and the kindness and all of God bestows upon you is when you look to Jesus. It's all on Jesus, right? This is what this reality. Here's what I want us to rest in the fact and quit trying to be perfect for God. God knew you weren't going to be perfect and that tomorrow you're not going to get it right. But guess who got it right for you? Jesus Christ. So in your imperfections, God's not looking at you saying, you stupid dummy. How dare you? No, he's saying, because of my son, I can call you son. And I can call you daughter today. I love Charles Spurgeon's great quote when he says, our good works did not win God's affection, and our bad works would never sever that affection. Isn't that beautiful? Our good works, it wasn't because we got it right. You're not a Christian because you got it right. You're a Christian because Jesus got it right for you. And when you mess up, just know that in those moments, just be reminded, oh, this is why Christ came. He came for people like me who get it wrong quite a bit. Now, let's go a little bit deeper on this passage before we close. The shepherds, they get this message. And let's look at verse 15. Look at verse 15. When the angels had left them and had gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. Verse 16. So they hurried off. I love the Bible. It says they were not slow to do what God told them to do. They hurried off, and they found Mary, Joseph, and the baby. Who's the baby? Baby Jesus. He was lying in the manger. Verse 17, and after they had seen the child, I love this, they spread the message they had received about him, and all who heard it were amazed by what the shepherds said to them. Now, this is crazy. These shepherds had this amazing moment with God. They have this amazing moment with God, and then they go and see, and they see Jesus just as the angel had told them. And what's the first thing they do? They tell people about it. Isn't that awesome? The response is, we got to spread this. This is such an amazing moment. They are no longer the products of their reputation, but rather now they are demonstrators of God's grace in their lives. Right? And I just want to just say this. Does being with Jesus make you want to talk about him more to others? Does your time with Christ, when was the last time you just shared your faith with someone else? Right? You know what I realized? People are more open to hear from God during the holiday seasons. This is prime. This is prime season. Right? Why? Because this season is just another reminder of our great need of a Savior. And maybe God wants to answer everyone's great need through the grace he has given you in your life by sharing him with someone else. The other day, I was on the phone with this young man. I literally just did him and his wife's wedding. I officiated their wedding just this past summer. And now they are on the brink of divorce. They're on the brink of divorce. And I'm asking them questions, and we're talking, and we're going into detail, and I'm not going to share any of them with you. But the one thing that I remember doing in that moment, and I know I said, okay, I can't be a pastor right now. Right now, what I need to be is someone who has experienced the depths of Jesus' grace. And I need to share how that has impacted my marriage and my soul. And I took the time and I did that. And he just wept. Because Christmas is the time where people need to hear about the light. And guess what, friends? You are the light. You have the light in you. Yes, I know you're dirty. You're very dirty. Guess what? That makes you more qualified. I know you're broken. I know you're like, but, you know, I did this thing last night. I drank a little bit too much. I went a little bit too far. I did this. Guess what? Your brokenness is one way to show that Jesus is real. To show people, yeah, I need a Savior. And let me talk to you about a Savior named Jesus. Right? Right? What if that was the great thing? Now, I want to say this last thing before I get into this point. I want to say this last thing. I love God. God sees people very differently than we see people. God did not, by his wisdom and knowledge, appear to the great greats. Not to Caesar, not to the Pharisees, not even to King Herod, who gets introduced in the Gospel of Matthew. But God, he loves to reveal himself to lowly people. He loves to reveal himself to rejected people. And God sees people very different than we do. And here's my prayer for each and every one of us. Can you ask God to soften your heart towards the people who are difficult to love? Because those are the people God really, really loves to reveal himself to. Right? And let me remind you, you're not very easy to love either. Right? Hey, this holiday season, maybe this is your prayer. Maybe this is the Christmas miracle. God, get the Grinch out of me. Right? Get this stubbornness out of me. Because there are people in our lives we have considered a lost cause, right? They're never going to change. There's no reason to reach out to them. I've tried already 100 times. There's no reason. Why would I reach out to them? They chose that lifestyle. Why? I don't need to talk to them. They did this. They did that. I love God. He sees the people we reject, and he says, those are the people that I want. Those are the people that I've called. Those are the people I'll draw near to. What if our prayer today was, God, soften my heart not to be a Grinch? Maybe that's the Christmas miracle, right? What if that was the work? But last but not least, God appears to these shepherds. God appears to these shepherds. Now, what's going on here? So many scholars like to say, God, in his divine wisdom and his infinite knowledge, choose your shepherds on purpose, which I can agree to. Why does he choose shepherds? Because the shepherds, these men, were a foreshadow to the true shepherd who has come. And who's the true shepherd, friends? Jesus Christ. He is the true shepherd. Friends, this Christmas is a reminder. Christ is the shepherd we need, because without him, we are lost and needy. Jesus is the shepherd we need, because without him, we are lost and needy. You have heard sermon after sermon after sermon about sheep and shepherds. And the reality of it matches our reality. Sheep, are you ready? Are stupid animals. They need guidance. They can't do their sheep life by themselves. Sheep had poor eyesight. Sheep were hard at hearing. Sheep were stubborn. Sounds a little bit like you. But you know what I mean? Like, all of this. Sheep were just, they weren't cats or dogs where they could just go off and do their own thing, right? You see a stray cat, you don't stop and say, somebody needs to save that cat. No. And you shouldn't save cats. But anyway, let's just keep moving. Keep moving. But I'm just joking when I say that. I know, just joking. Keep moving. But, right, if you saw a sheep, you'll be like, yo, that sheep needs help. That sheep, right? Like that sheep would just go randomly and do whatever it wants and just wander off. And the Bible wants you to know, out of the most loving way, you are a sheep. And you are in need of someone's loving guidance in your life. Jesus is the good shepherd we need. Jesus reminds us in the Gospel of John, John chapter 10, you and I know this, and you and I love this. This is the reality of sheep-shepherd relationship today. Some of us, you need to realize you're not a shepherd. You're not good at leading your own life. But you need a shepherd who can lead you into life. Look what Jesus says in John chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Look what he says. Truly, truly, I tell you, whoever does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in another way, is a thief and a robber. So the one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him. The sheep, what do they do, friends? They listen for his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will flee from him because they do not recognize his voice. Jesus spoke to them using this illustration, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Verse 7, he said these things to them, truly, truly, I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate, or I am the door, some of your Bible says. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will come in and out and go out and find pasture. The thief, we all know this one. We love this verse. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you may have what, friends? Life, and have it in its abundance. The purpose of Christ in your life is to give you abundance of life. And friends, we need a shepherd. Jesus is mirroring Psalm 23 over and over and over again, that I am the one that you need. I am the one that gives you life. Other things will be a thief and a robber and a stranger and will steal what I want to give to you. Jesus is the wonderful shepherd we all need today. And he's the shepherd who is worthy to be praised. He is the shepherd that is worthy to be praised. So today, what I want to end, because notice how the passage ends. They not just spread the message of Jesus, they went about glorifying God. Right? Listen, I can't tell you how God's going to solve your problems this week. I can't tell you how God is going to answer any of that. I do know this, that in the midst of the bad news, there is good news. And the good news is the presence of Christ. And because of the presence of Christ, I want to be like the angels were, and I want to worship him. I want to worship him today because he is the proven good shepherd. I want to exalt him and to remind myself, I need God more. I need the shepherd's hand. I need that rod and that staff to comfort me. Remember Psalm 23? The rod and the staff, they comfort me. One for compassion and one for strength. The shepherd, what they would do is they would have two different instruments whenever they would be out with the sheep. One was for to protect the sheep, and one was for to pull the sheep back. Because what happens is the sheep had many things threatening their existence. They had other animals. They even had thieves. Jesus said there were thieves, people that wanted to steal the sheep and sell them. But the shepherd's job was to use his crook and to keep away all threats. Don't we need the things? Don't we need Christ to keep away the things that threaten our soul? And then the other one would be the staff of comfort. Because sheep, though they are being led, they still like to wander, don't they? And haven't we wandered from Jesus lately? We love him, but we're not really following him. We love that he's this guy that does this and does that, but we love to do our own thing. And whenever the sheep would go off, the shepherd lovingly would pull them back. Today, I think Jesus wants to bring some of you back. He wants to bring some of you back because you've been wandering. You've been thinking you can feed and take care of yourself. And life over and over again reminds you, you are a terrible shepherd, but here is a good shepherd. You are not good at taking care of your pain. You are not good at healing your own brokenness. You are not good at giving yourself joy, but there is a shepherd wants to give you the good news of great joy. So let's worship that shepherd today. Let's give him what he deserves and say, holy, holy, holy is Jesus Christ. And you are the leader of my life today. And I will do all that you say. Let's pray. Dear Father, I thank you and I honor you. I thank you that you are the good shepherd, not just the one who gives life, but the one who laid down his life. The one who laid down his life, and you laid down your life willingly for the sake of the flock, so that there would be one shepherd and one flock in union and worshiping and serving you. Father, bless us today. Help us to be reminded that it's not about how much we get it right, But let us rest in the reality that Jesus got it right for us. And let us not be fooled into thinking that you love us less because we get it wrong. But rather, the affections that you have towards us ever increases because you are always looking towards the Son. I love you, and I honor you. In Christ's wonderful name, amen.